Same guy. Sammy was quite a unique character.
You know, in all of those songs that they produced and sang back then, all had orchestras.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
dating back to the 30s, the Dorsey bands and all the big bands, and that's what Frank Sinatra came out of, was a big band. He was a Dorsey singer.
I mean, listen to the music, right? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So caller number two gets a chance at a family four-pack on – when is it?
It is the Mother's Day game on Sunday.
Mother's Day game on Sunday. I don't know what time.
It is a 1:10 first pitch.
1:10 first pitch, a family of four. Caller number two. And, you know, I mean, if you've already won this month, you can't win again. You have to wait till next month. But caller number two, the tickets are yours. So, Sandy, CJ asked earlier if you did your homework.
Yeah.
And he's been hanging around waiting to see whether or not.
Well, I did do my homework, and I'm not sure I got an A on it.
So let's talk about what the homework assignment was.
Well, I said that on Monday I would go off and do some homework to try and better understand this question of how much undocumented immigrants from the southern border were costing the United States. And the number is talked about with big arm waves about many billions of dollars, and as if it's basically tearing at the fabric of American government. Well, it turns out that there have been a bunch of efforts to analyze it. There's been one by a group called FAIR, which is in fact a conservative organization whose intent is to build the case against immigration, and they come up with the biggest numbers. But the problem with analyzing it is that these people are undocumented and are under the radar. And so the people who are already in the country are only found out about in the circumstance in which they present themselves in a manner that allows you to analyze them. They're not standing in line to do.
Right.
Many of them have adopted... Others have Social Security numbers which are not properly issued to them. Those people are paying taxes. What is clear is that the incoming people whose children are in education systems are costing the education system the cost per pupil of educating a student. However, those people also live someplace and pay rent. And so if they don't own a home, they're paying rent, and the landlord pays property taxes. And so it's not clear that the burden on the education system is that much different than the burden on the education system of those who are legally in the country or citizens. Then there also is the cost that might be associated with Medicaid and presentation of people to emergency rooms. And there are those costs. And those costs are a burden on the economy for citizens as well as non-citizens. And so that is an issue. There is no question that the cities that are local to the borders are having material problems. The idea that you could bring into a city hundreds of thousands of new residents immediately and have all of them be on the lower end of the income scale would be difficult for any city, so it's particularly difficult in Texas, where the cities are experiencing this burden. Another thing that is clear from the studies, though, is that the children and grandchildren of these immigrants actually contribute more to the federal revenue than they bear in the way of costs, and are actually have a bigger contribution than do historic indigenous residents of the United States. The comparison I saw was that this cohort is contributing a net of $1,700 a head, and the average contribution is $1,300 a head. Because it is true that second-generation immigrants generally, whether they're from the southern border or not, are the most successful cohort of people in the United States. And so we have to understand that second-generation immigrants are very powerful contributors to America and to the American economy. So, okay, what have I come up with inconclusive? I agree that there is a crisis at the border. I agree that the crisis, however, is the result of bipartisan an inability of a bipartisan Congress to deal with the southern border issue. Ever since the 1990s, President Bush II put together a bipartisan commission. It was one of the major pushes of his administration to try and solve the southern border issue. He had a reason. He had a Latin-speaking wife and was interested in this issue very much. And what happened? Nothing. And what has happened since in terms of congressional action? Nothing. Now what we have is a situation in which somehow the Republican side of the aisle has found it possible to point its finger at the Democratic side of the aisle and accuse the Democratic side of being the source of the problem. When in fact the problem is that the numbers of people who want to enter the country from south of the border far exceed the capacity of our border to deal with them. And half of that problem relates to the laws we've enacted and also the budget dollars that we have provided to the functions to deal with the issue. And so we've got disorder at the southern border, and it's going to exist as long as the southern hemisphere of the western hemisphere is in such disarray. And I think the United States needs to look in the mirror on that issue and understand that we have played a principal role in creating some of the disarray in the southern hemisphere. And if we focused as much attention on the southern hemisphere as we have, for instance, on Ukraine, in terms of our willingness to focus resources on solving the issues, we might be able to solve issues in the southern hemisphere which would cut down on the numbers of people knocking on the door at our border.
You know, Sandy, the part of this is that, well, the Democrats want to let them in because they're going to vote Democrat. That's not the reason, right?
Well, that's the great substitution theory. Really, there is this theory out there, a conspiracy theory, that the left wants to substitute what was the fabric
people
of American
of
society
too.
with people of color who will be Democrats. Now, the other thing is that what appears to be the case is that Latinx people who are in this country long enough have the same party mix as the general population. So certainly in Florida, for instance, Latinx population is not necessarily a Democratic voting population.
Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning, Gary. Thank you for the call. You say what?
I have a question for Sandy. Do you believe in sovereign borders?
Well, of course I do. Borders are borders, and like I said, the problem we have at our border is that we haven't dealt with our border problem at a congressional level, either with the laws necessary to set up the orderly process for evaluating immigration, or we haven't budgeted enough to deal with it in that manner. So, you know, this is like a red herring to talk about whether one party or the other believes in a sovereign border. Trump's solution to a sovereign border was to build a wall, but how many people was he going to let through the door that might be involved with such a wall? And that's what we need to deal with. How many people do we want to let in the door? And what's the process for letting them in the door?
I lived in Germany for a while back in the 70s, okay? And I travel from country to country, and if I would try to sneak into, like, Italy or sneak into Austria, I would be arrested, thrown in jail. Now, when Biden took
incidentally, Gary, those borders are now open, and there is no border check in the EU border for moving from place to place for EU residents. Anybody who lives in the EU can move from place to place in the EU without presenting their passport any place. Okay. So they have sovereign borders, but they've decided what kind of doors they're going to have on those borders.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you what it was like back in the 70s.
Well, okay.
It was very, very tough. Okay. Now, when Biden took office, he swore that he would uphold the laws of this country. Our laws of our country are not being upheld. He's allowing people to come into this country
by
illegally.
What's allowing them to come in? This is the part that I don't quite understand. The right says, well, the Democrats are allowing this to happen. We're sending a military down now. Title 42 is expiring, but it would have expired under any case because Title 42 was premised on the emergency of the pandemic, and the pandemic emergency has been declared over. It's been declared over on a world basis and on a national basis. The basis for Title 42 was the danger created by COVID. And so when Title 42 expires, you end up with different rules associated with the asylum seekers. But what's happened now is that we've said that asylum seekers who are unlawfully in this country will be banished from the country for five years. Under Title 42, they were ordered to leave the country, but they could return tomorrow if Title 42 was erased.
Sandy, do you believe? And I'm not. I don't want to argue with you. I think you know me. I think I'm pretty fair. But the thing is that, as far as the borders and fentanyl coming into this country, don't you think that one American life is worth shutting down the borders?
Isn't
one American life worth it?
Look, fentanyl coming in the border is not an issue that's tied directly to immigration. Fentanyl coming in the border, we've had this conversation before, Gary. Fentanyls are coming in with trucks. Fentanyl is coming in all different ways. And it would get into the country whether we had, and we aren't going to close our border for trade. Do you know who Mexico's biggest trading partner is?
Probably us.
Yeah. So that means that things are going across the border every day in giant quantities. Trucks are crossing the border in.
So hang on. We gotta go to a break. Be right back.
You're ahead in.
I've the wined and the dined on the mulligan stew. Never wish for turkey. As I hitched and the hiked and the drifted too. From Maine to Albuquerque. Alas, I missed the Bozarts ball.
What I can just picture him
sad,
smoking,
a
shirt open,
the drink in his hand.
And
those guys, man, I mean, they lived a fast life.
Peter Lawford.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Lewis.
No, not Jerry Lewis. It was Peter Lawford, Sammy Davis, Dean Martin.
Jerry Lewis was part of the Rat Pack?
No.
Nope.
Sandy. Nope.
Look it up.
I will.
Please.
Couldn't have been.
844-967-2789. Yeah, Peter Lawford, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra,
George Montgomery. George Montgomery.
Dean Martin.
Yeah, that's it. No, Jerry. Dean Martin didn't like Jerry Lewis when they broke that. They were like, they would never have spent leisure time together. But anyway,
all right.
back to the,
welcome back. So Gary, it is your belief that what is happening, these people at the border are bringing in fentanyl.
Well, you know, let's just speak to that, because I think it's, you know, fentanyl coming across the border and fentanyl coming from anywhere is a problem. Fentanyl is not meant for layman use. It's a terrible drug. It was coming from China for a while. It's undoubtedly also coming from within the United States. It's produced in cartels south of the border and coming in that way. But to conflate fentanyl with the immigration problem, I don't know how old you are, Gary, but when I was a young guy, Wisconsin, every summer, was filled with migrant laborers. We had migrant labor camps. These people were coming from Mexico and coming up to Wisconsin, and they were picking peas, and they were – Hartford, Wisconsin was a center for truck farms that used migrant labor extensively. And so we've always had an influx of labor from south of the border. We've always had movement across the border. And what's happened more recently is that social conditions south of the border have created a great deal of pressure at the border for people wanting to move into the United States. And we've never closed our borders at all to everyone, okay? We've always had quotas, we've had numbers, we've had a sensible approach to border influx. And Congress has failed to deal with that on our southern border. And so I think what I'm talking about is just we need to return to a sensible border program. We're not going to shut down the southern border, okay? And shutting down the southern border would be a disaster to our economy. The growth in the U.S. population for the last 35 years is basically attributable only to immigrants, okay? We've had stagnant – we don't even – in current women in the United States – don't have children at the replacement rate of, I think, 2.4 children per family. And so we're dealing with a shrinking population unless we have immigration. Well, we also have a shortage of labor. We're opening up labor to 14-year-olds because we can't find workers.
And it's zero population growth. Every time a person dies, there's not another one to take the place.
Well, and we don't have enough young people to pay for Social Security for people getting older. So, I mean— the loss of growth in an economy, while, you know, we can't grow forever because we're going to fill the world with human beings too rapidly, from the standpoint of the self-interest of an economy, having a shrinking or static population growth is a serious problem. So,
Gary?
I've spoken my druthers, Gary. That's my reaction.
I like listening to it. When you weren't on the air for a couple of weeks there, I was sitting there, what the heck? No, I enjoyed talking to you because I think that you're very fair. But the concerns that I have, I'm not concerned. I mean, I've been to Mexico quite a few times, maybe 10 times, okay? And I like the people down there. We go to the resorts and we meet the people, the young people that work hard. They work like 18-hour days.
Okay, but what?
So, 6 days in a row. But the thing, no, I have no problems with the people. I just want to know who is entering this country, whether they're criminals or not, whether they're families or not. I'm concerned about the amount of young people that I think that are brought into sex slaving, brought in through the cartels. They have no idea where these people are. Now, if you guys are going to laugh about it, this is a real concern that
I
have.
So Sandy, let me just say this. You know, so Gary, here's what I'm saying. You know, we're so terrified of people coming into this country to become criminals. We got enough of our own homegrown criminals, you know, to constantly label these people as criminals. Our nation is full of our own criminals. So without us having to point fingers at people who come here across the border.
Well, I do think this, and I'll do more homework to confirm this, but I do believe there are studies out there that establish that the crime rate of the population that has moved to the United States from south of the border is lower than the crime rate of the indigenous population in the United States. So, you know, I think it's a red herring to look at things that are not common but rather uncommon and suggest that they somehow are commonplace amongst the immigrant stream that's coming in from south of the border. We should all understand that almost all of those people are coming here in search of an opportunity, economic opportunity, just like our forefathers did. And that they are a very successful cohort in our economy, and that the second generation of this cohort is very successful. So, I only argue about the notion that we generalize about this, about the specific, and the yes, we can find specific problems that have occurred with specific individuals, but I don't think we should generalize. I guess that's my comment, Gary.
Well, the thing is that I'm a second generation Swede. Okay, my grandma came over from Sweden when she was nine, and she went through Ellis Island and the whole Swedish thing. So yes, we are a country full of immigrants, and that's fine. And yes, we can use more people. The more people come in here, they're going to be buying things. They're going to need houses. We're going to need people to build houses and do their lawns
but
do everything else. And I understand.
But
the fact is, I just want to know who is entering our country.
Okay.
That we are a sovereign country. I do not believe in open borders. And if we end up opening borders, we got to go to a break.
But I don't think anyone's espousing an open border.
Guys, we got to go to a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Well, in his case, it wasn't too much wine.
No.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, have you had enough wine now that you're willing to have a conversation with CJ after you've done your homework?
Yeah, but I have to concede to you that I got a text message, and the original Rat Pack did include Jerry Lewis, but it didn't include the rest. It was like Errol Flynn and a bunch of – but, yeah, and Joey Bishop. We forgot him as a key member of that group.
Yeah, can you imagine those guys having wives at that point in time or significant others?
No, they deserve to they were all saints, I think.
All right, CJ. You know, Sandy did his homework. You want to respond?
Well, I really do appreciate you guys taking my call again. And Sandy, good job. You're the one that said you were going to do it. But you didn't give a number. And it's...
Well, that's because CJ, my homework suggested there isn't a number that anyone trusts, because there isn't a way to accomplish getting to a number, okay? So you're going to give a number that I think comes from the FAIR group, which is a lobbying organization that is lobbying against immigration and wants immigration reform. But go ahead.
I'm giving it from the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan.
That was the per capita number you gave last time of $10,000, right?
Per immigrant, yes.
Yeah.
And it's $6.2 million before the surge that is coming that they estimate.
Well, that isn't $6.2 million under Biden, though. That's $6.2 million in total.
That's who he has entered illegally since he's taken office.
No,
how can they tell that?
No, that isn't.
I mean, how can they tell that,
okay.
CJ?
Okay.
No, I'm asking
that.
How can they tell that 6.2 million people have entered illegally?
That's from the Border Patrol, Earl.
The Border Patrol does everything.
Okay. But here's the fact. This really comes down to it, what I've been saying for years. This is about votes. Sandy, you spoke of future generations because usually they're here.
This isn't about
voting. Usually they start contributing. So it is. It's about, that's the bottom line. 2 years, the president says he's planned for this. Look at the chaos.
Well,
now
they're
doing mass releases. They don't know who they are. They don't know if they don't have a name. They can't track them. This is planned for future votes for the Democrat Party.
Well, come on.
Bottom line.
So CJ, it has nothing to do with the fact that there are workers that are needed in this country. It is all about giving the Democrats a lead. And I get it. That's what conservatives, unfortunately, keep saying, keep spouting. They have nothing to back that up. But But so you come on and you spout the same stuff, espouse the same stuff that I've heard on Fox News and other places, and you state that as facts.
Okay. Let me, and CG, let me just get back to this. I'm now reading from FAIR, this lobby group, and they don't use the number you just used. So what they say is that since President Biden took office, they would suggest that around 5.5 million illegal aliens, they say around because, of course,
you can't back that up.
You can't know the actual number. And they say, here's the basis for this number. They say that this number contains 4.4 million nationwide total reported by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which includes around 3.9 million at our southwest border. Okay, as well as about approximately 1.1 million gotaways which entered the country undetected per agency sources. So, you know, just let's not create science where there is no science. These numbers are estimates, and they're colored by whoever is making the estimate. And this estimate is not an estimate created by the government in terms of a number which they're confident of.
Well, thank you. Republicans believe in legal immigration, and we're living with the president.
Well, look, CJ, I think you shouldn't have it. We're not having a debate with either Earl or I about whether there should be legal or illegal immigration. We don't think there should be illegal immigration. We think that that Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, need to get together on a bipartisan basis and figure out what to do with the southern border. How many immigrants should we have coming in, and what process should we have for letting them in, and how much should we budget for that process? You realize that all three of those things are subject to congressional control, and all three of those things have been ignored by Congress ever since 1998.
Again, the cost is, you're seeing it, we're feeling it.
I know, but the cost, CJ, you want to attribute the cost to the current incumbent. The cost is something that should be aimed at both parties, and it should be aimed at Congress, because, quite frankly, this has been a problem which has been, the can has been kicked down the road for years now. And furthermore, the U.S. Foreign policies associated with the Southern Hemisphere have undoubtedly exacerbated the problem. So we've got, and we haven't focused enough attention on the Southern Hemisphere, because we're going to have a problem at the southern border so long as we have essentially millions of people who want to enter the country from the southern border.
So, Sandy, as long as there are people who say, as long as there are people who say it was fixed under Donald Trump, the border was fixed, the problem was fixed, we're going to continue to have this because the problem wasn't fixed under Donald Trump. It doesn't matter how many times they say it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
Well, I just think if we all just dealt with facts and we all looked at realities and then we decided to work together to solve the problems those facts uncovered, we'd get someplace. But the conversation that simply points fingers and doesn't come up with solutions,
it's why we've got the problems we got.
It's why we've got the problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Tom, hey, Tom, you say what?
If you remember what George War Criminal Bush said, you know, with propaganda, you just have to keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, like CJ does every day until people start believing that it's true. Also, you noticed how you proved him wrong, and then all of a sudden he did not refute the fact that you proved him wrong. And then he goes on to something else that is another talking point. He has no logic in terms of or any type of source that backs up what it is that he's saying. And the bottom line is Republicans spend and spend and spend. Democrats invest, and they look for a return on investment. And you know what? That return on investment, whether it's education, whether it's building roads and bridges, actually like Eisenhower did, who was a good Republican and a good progressive, that's the difference. And they just want to continue to throw out these talking points that are really getting old. Him and his statistics every day that he gets probably from an email from someone who lives in their mother's basement still is what CJ throws up against the wall every day. But it's the same story every single day, and he has nothing new to say.
Well,
so
you know,
I just wanted to throw that out.
I guess my view, Tom, is just a little bit different. I think anything anyone has to say is probably important for us to listen to and to talk about. And the fact is that too many people might be agreeing with a non-factual based situational thing. Gary from Sussex probably agrees with a fair amount of what CJ has to say. And I just think that too many people are bombarded by numbers that seem to be scientifically factual and with emotional issues like fentanyl. I mean, if people conflate in their mind the problem of fentanyl with the problem of immigration from the southern border, you've got a problem right there in terms of being able to discuss the southern border immigration problem. And so what we need to do is help people sift through the facts and focus. And if people are unwilling to address facts because they are so partisan that all they're interested in is the game, then you're right that we can't get anywhere then. But I'm intent on trying to get people off their game.
When a conversation starts with actually calling someone by the Democrat Party, they tell on themselves right there and then. If they really wanted to have a little respect and have an actual conversation, they could call us what we are, which is the Democratic Party. And he keeps on saying Democrat Party. You know what? To me, he loses all credibility right there and does not want anything but partisanship lines. And you know what, CJ, if you wanted to actually have a conversation with someone, start calling them by their real name. Stop with your craziness, Fox labels that you use. You know, otherwise, maybe we should call you something different.
Okay.
But we don't. We show you respect.
Okay, Tom, man, thank you very much for the call. You know, it's a tiresome reality. And for me, it's a tiresome reality because to blame any one party or the fact that Joe Biden's been in office a few years, he's the reason, it's really nonsensical because after all this time, Sandy, we're still the dreamers, people who were born here. We still haven't gotten that worked out.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense. Right?
I mean, we haven't gotten worked out the numbers. We haven't had a process in which we've decided how many immigrants we would like to have legally enter the border from the south. We haven't figured out how much we should budget for it. We haven't figured out just exactly what processes we ought to use at the border, how much of it ought to be military and how much ought to be bureaucratic. You know, we just kicked this can down the road. And what we've got meanwhile is a swelling problem in terms of the numbers of people south of the border who are standing in line.
So when you make these people villains and enemies, which is what has occurred, you know, women and children.
Well, you know, here's what really kind of disturbs me is the substitution theory that really is the great substitution theory, which CJ was describing, which is that somehow the left in this country is hell-bent on opening the door to immigrants so that they can swell the number of people who are members of the Democratic Party. And, gosh, you know, that might be the outcome of it, but I'm quite sure that's not the purpose underlying it.
But in the face of that, it doesn't change because there's so many people who do believe that.
Right.
And you can't. Anyway, let's go to Bob from hey, Bob, good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Earl and Sandy. Good to hear from both of you. I've been away from my radio for about an hour or so.
You got to turn your radio down. You got to turn your radio down. Whatever that is in the background.
I can't turn it off. You want me to leave?
No, I don't know. So you've got something in the background.
Well, he's got. Maybe it's just not a radio. Maybe it's someplace. Go ahead, Bob.
The border itself is not really the issue.
Okay, so Bob, hang on. We've got to go to a break, move to a different spot away from the stuff in the background, and we'll bring you back on. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore,
that's amore.
Station that's not confined to the borders of
magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I got those icy, icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
All right, welcome back to the Early Evening Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, the music was kind of selected with you in mind, your sisters.
Maybe we should start the Rat Pack. Maybe we should start a Rat Pack, huh? Earl and Sandy, and who else is in that group?
Hey, CJ and...
Gary.
Let's go to the phone lines and Bob from... hey, Bob, go ahead. Wisconsin's East Coast.
Right.
Man, we can't hear you. Say again. Yeah, you got to call back. But Sandy, this has to be, if our government, Sandy, can't work this out and it's not a priority, we're going to keep having the issues and the problems we're dealing with, right? It has to be a priority.
Well, it's a little bit like our foreign policy, where we drum up a certain point of view domestically, politically. You know, the Chinese are evil. Taiwan's an independent country. We have to do everything we can to defend it. We'd have to send troops in. We all of this stuff is essentially self-fulfilling prophecies in terms of creating problems without solutions. And I'm afraid that our discussion of the border problem is the same thing. We talk about it in a non-reality. We talk about immigrants as if they are child enslavement, drug dealing, murdering folks trying to come across the border. Well, if that's who they are, then we don't want them in the country, right? But that's not who they are, and there's no factual basis for saying that's who they are. But if we're going to have that conversation in that tenor, then we aren't ever going to get to the solution. And so I guess my hope is that we could just get fact-based in everything we talk about and deal with the facts, deal with the problems that actually exist instead of the ones we create.
So here are the facts. The facts are that there aren't enough people in this country who are going to be able to work these jobs that are necessary to keep the country moving forward. That's a fact. Not the American. There aren't going to be enough American children born that are going to be able to replace all the baby boomers and others who are retiring and dying. Facts.
Yep.
So the nation is going to continue to grow. It's not going to implode. We're going to need people, human beings. And IT is not going to be able to replace all the people as needed, right? So factually, they're going to need to have more people come into the country. That's not a secret.
Well, in fact, it's our history. You know, we have been a country who has grown through immigration since our start. We built our railroads with Irish and Chinese labor. You know, we've always been a country where immigrants have come in to
to
built a nation with slave labor.
Well, I mean, we've built our nation on the back of on the backs of immigration, and so you know it's part of our tradition, and the notion that because people are coming in now who might not be who might not look exactly like the original founders of this country, somehow changes things? I don't think so.
But you're still going to need the people, whether they look like the founding fathers or not.
Exactly. And we've always gotten used to it. You know, the Irish used to be treated very badly when they came to this country, and now they're just a part of this country. And the same is true of every wave of immigrants. And the fact is that that we have been this sort of unique place in the world. We were the beginning of globalization because the rest of the globe came to our shores and have inhabited it, and they're continuing to do that. And we aren't going to be able to slam the door without essentially slamming the door on our future.
Yeah, there's no question. The nation can't survive at the rate it's going now without these people. And so demographers know it. But you don't need to be a demographer to know it, Sandy. All you have to do is open your eyes.
Well, one of the things that was interesting during the Trump administration, he was talking about and describing an African country using an expletive. It was something whole, he said.
Right.
And then he said, we ought to have more people come in this country from a nice place like Norway. Well, you know why they aren't coming from Norway? Because why would they come from Norway when, you know, when life in Norway is great? In fact, the whole emigration from Europe, from Western Europe, the United States has ground to almost an absolute halt because life in Europe is just fine, and they're not going to uproot themselves to come to the United States. Well, if maybe the United States ought to focus more of its attention on making life in the Western Hemisphere, the southern part of the Western Hemisphere, better, so that we didn't have millions and millions of people wanting to come into this country from the Southern Hemisphere.
And you know what? We could do it for a fraction of what it costs to have all the people come over here and have to go through what it is we're dealing with right now, with all the costs of the military and all those things, whatever amount of money that it would cost to straighten things out over there,
it's a snippet compared to our defense budget. It's a snippet compared to what we decided overnight to spend in Ukraine on what was a humanitarian problem there, but we have a humanitarian problem here. And so, and by humanitarian, I'm not talking about the fact that immigration is a humanitarian problem. The humanitarian problem is what's driving all these people into wanting to become immigrants.
All right, so I guess we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, my friend, as always.
The Rat Pack is going to convene on Monday.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Be safe. See you later, Calvin. All right, bye.
But what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss put out that fire. You're the love, the love, the lover that I have waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, baby, darling, darling, down I go. Round and round and round I go. In a spin, ooh, and I'm loving that spin that I'm in. Ooh, under that old black magic car.
You're a dirty robber.
Oh, black magic car. Uh-oh, get out the car. Oh, black magic car.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch,
under that old